Hello and welcome to the Old Man Orange Podcast. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes, bringing you another Old Man Orange Presents via VHS episode. One of them from the rarities vault that we have from back in the day that just never got put out. So come join us for another fun-filled retro movie review. Let's jump on in.
So welcome to another episode of the Via VHS Retro Movie Podcast. Tonight we're going to Frogtown.
We're bringing the hell.
Bringing the hell to Frogtown. And we'll be laying that pipe. Laying that hot Roddy Piper. In Frogtown. And we're watching Hell Comes to Frogtown. If you haven't pieced that together by looking at the title and this weird intro that we're doing. 1988 is where we're traveling to. I'm Wesley, as always, your host, and then joined by Spencer Scott Holmes. And this is a movie that both of us, you've never seen it before, right?
Nope, never have. Always wanted to, never have.
This is definitely something both of us should have seen because it's right up our alley.
Mm-hmm.
Both of us wrestling fans, both fans of the Rod, right? The Hot Rod.
Yep. Gosh. And plus even just, I love him and They Live. So that's why I'm kind of like that. That's what it seems so weird to not have seen it, you know, yet, because as much as I love They Live and everything like that, you feel like, oh man, as I said, I've always wanted to see this movie. I just, you know, it's not like it was just easy. You always had to buy it. That was always kind of the case for the most part. I mean, nowadays on YouTube, there's just glorious people out there that upload all kinds of stuff. So we're in kind of a, like another Wild West period of like, for some reason, I don't know why nobody cares about that. They're so focused on like editing people's like speeches down and taking people for that, that I don't think they have time to look at old movies being uploaded anymore. That used to be an issue. Not anymore.
It's weird. It's like the more they regulate it, the more it becomes like the Wild West again. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. It's like they're so focused on like people, what they say speech wise, but they could kind of seems to care less about old stuff. Probably maybe it's also the fact that we're just losing our physical medias left and right too. Like, so maybe they're like, well, if this is it, cause yeah, Best Buy just said, they're like, yeah, we're not going to sell any more physical media. No more video games, no more music. I mean, we're already done with that. No more DVDs and Blu-rays. Screw you guys.
They're not selling video games anymore either.
It sounded like that was in the blanket list. That kind of blew me away. I'm like, really? Like, you think maybe once the Switch dies, I could kind of see that going away. But you would think that still brings in somewhat a bit. And they always used to have special edition stuff at Best Buy that you actually couldn't get other places. Mm-hmm. So that's the only reason I thought it was kind of strange.
Yeah, that is strange. I saw that today and I thought of you because of our conversation we had before. I think it was last episode. We were talking about physical media.
Yeah.
And how it was dying. And so many people are insistent. It's not, man. The sales have never been better. Really? Yeah, you're at Target and Walmart, and now Best Buy's just like, fuck it. I'm just done.
Netflix killed it. Target killed it. Best Buy killed it. Walmart is pretty damn close to being behind it. At least, you know, my Walmart's practically little to no DVDs left in there. I'll say it's probably by this standard, I bet you in 1 year, I don't think any major store is going to carry DVDs anymore.
When it comes to physical media, it's a dystopian hellscape. Kind of like this movie, Frogtown. Hell Comes to Frogtown, released in January of 1988. Can't believe neither one of us seen this. Obviously starring the Hot Rod, Rowdy Roddy Piper. And man, this is a weird ass movie. It really is. Like, it's going to be kind of a difficult review, to be honest with you, because it's really, it, no, we'll say this. It knows what it is. You showed me a trailer before we watched this. And then I watched, that wasn't the official trailer. That was like a...
It
was a later made DVD trailer. But then the official trailer isn't far off of that.
Oh, it's, really? Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty... They knew what it was. It was schlock. It was ridiculous. It was stupid. And it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And they hit the nail on the head with that.
Oh, 100%. Like, that's the thing about this movie. It was weird because in starting it up, like in like the first like less than 20 minutes, I was watching, I was like, wow, this actually was not what I was expecting this movie to be at all. I didn't think it was one of those ones where it's just like, you know, Roddy Piper is one of the last men on earth who still, you know, can impregnate women. And guess what? The women need his seed.
Yeah.
You're like, that's where we're going.
Yeah. He's laying the pipe. He's laying the Piper, laying the Hot Rod. That's what this movie's about. Was not expecting it either. I was expecting gore, a lot of violence.
Yeah.
I was expecting that. That's kind of where I thought this movie was going to go. It's going to be schlock, action, gore. and ridiculousness and a lot of toad splatter everywhere and just sliminess and like frog puns and, you know, you're feeling froggy, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you get a little bit of that, but it's in, there is some action and stuff, but it was really just it was a porno without porn.
Yeah, it was kind of leading more that direction because I was almost expecting to be definitely schlockier, but kind of like a They Live. But They Live is, you know, quite a serious movie if you really do think about it. Like some people might not see it that way, but that one's like, it's weird because you compare like, okay, these are Roddy's two big movies that he had, and they both came out at the same time. I was really, when I was watching, I was like, which one came first? Because they're both 88. But I'm like, I'm thinking this one probably was, and They Live kind of came while this one was being finished up. That's my kind of theory on it. It'd be weird if this one came after They Live, because it seems like you do They Live and it's almost like you're like, man, you hit a real high point movie there, like that you know, you could be going places. And then Hell Comes to Frogtown is one of those ones, like, it's a great fun movie, but I feel like as an actor, it's like, ooh, this one might make it a tough sell for your next pictures.
I thought it was funny that he needed an acting coach on set with him for this. I'm like, you could have just left it alone, guys. Like, just. He was fine for what it was, as is. You know, he didn't need that coach. I mean, oh man, this is a weird one. I guess what we should do is just go ahead and jump into the Rewind review, because there's a lot to unpack here.
There really is, you know.
Let's do it. Okay, hold on 1 second. So Hill Comes to Frogtown. A couple things I couldn't find. An official release date, and I'm assuming this was just straight to video because I couldn't find box office for it either.
Mm-hmm.
And so those two things are kind of off. So I still have some box office stuff to look back on. But the only thing I got close to a release date was January 1st, 1988. I don't think it was in theaters. I couldn't find anything on Box Office Mojo. I might be completely wrong, but I didn't find anything.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like, I see the January thing, and it's New World Pictures, so it's Roger Corman. So yes, this might be the area when he's like, because he jumped in the straight to the video stuff pretty early on. Like he, once the Grindhouse kind of wore its way out, he was like, oh, wait a second, the straight to video is going to be the next big thing for me.
Oh, 100%. And you, as soon as you turn this on, you see that New World Pictures logo. I was like, yeah, it's going to be fun. This is going to be exactly what I thought it was going to be in some ways. And then it went a completely different direction. But yeah, so January of 1988 was when this was released. It's directed by Donald G. Jackson. Obviously, it's New World Picture. So indirectly, Roger Corman is involved. Real quick thing I just thought was funny while we're talking about, before we talk about the cast, when I was on Wikipedia, I saw like David Shapiro was the composer. And then I'm like, I wonder, and it's Ben Shapiro's dad. It's the composer on this movie.
Really? Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, I knew he had some ties to Hollywood. He tried to be a screenwriter, Ben Shapiro did, and then now he's just a conservative analyst or whatever, but he tried to be a screenwriter. So I knew, as soon as I saw Shapiro, and you know, the girl who played Matilda, the little girl from Mrs. Doubtfire, that's Ben Shapiro's cousin.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I knew he had some ties in that world, but, yeah, so I just thought that was a wild thing. But, what we'll do real quick, since we can't find an official release date, I just pulled up the, box office for January of 1988.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to go about it.
Yeah. I'm stopping right here real quick, 'cause I had it pulled up and actually exited out. Monthly box office. Let me just do that real quick because I've fucked up. I have everything else in tabs, but I guess I just X'd that one out. Now, Hill Comes to Frogtown does not have a place on this list, but it's just interesting to see what was out in theaters.
Yeah, what were your, you know, you this is the thing, you went to the cinema first, then you went to rent a video on your way home, and you got Hell Comes to Frogtown, but what did you see first?
Yes.
What did you see at the cinema? Like, that's what it is. It's one of those moments.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll play a little game. I'll give you five movies. I'll give you our top five from January of 1988 in terms of gross. and you tell me which one was number one here. I'm going to go out of order. Broadcast News.
Okay.
Good Morning Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Throw Mama from the Train. Eddie Murphy Raw. And Three Men and a Baby.
I'm going to go with Throw Mama from the Train.
Oh, really? That's actually fourth. It's Three Men and a Baby.
Okay, that was literally my second choice.
Look, this is back when January was January. Like,
yeah,
back in the day, like, you still get some shit these days in January, but it's the good films are separated out a little bit more. You could still get some good stuff, but back in the day, January was, I don't want anybody to see this, or it's award stuff, or it's hangovers from Christmas. That's what you're getting.
Yeah, because nowadays, almost some of the best, there's movies I see in January and go, oh, that's the best movie of the year. I bet you nothing else will beat it. And then it'll go all year round and go, yep, that was the one. that was like a Hostiles. And like that.
Bro, I loved Hostiles, except for one thing.
That movie was so good, but what was the one thing?
Well, I just didn't like how, I just feel like his character turn was very abrupt.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was like, I hate Indians. I hate Indians. I hate Indians. The next thing I'm like, I love Indians. Yeah. I just thought you knew it was going that direction, but it felt very abrupt. But that was a fucking good movie.
Yeah. Cause dude, that director, it's the same dude that did Out of the Furnace, which Out of the Furnace I thought was pure amazing too, with Christian Bale as well. And I find it extremely hilarious that I don't know if everybody finds Out of the Furnace hilarious, but like, like sometimes drama movies can be like, so I don't know what it is, like they can be like the hardest drama and I'll be like, man, this thing is great and I had a fun time and everything like that. And I'll show it to some people and then they'll look at me like, dude, that movie was depressing, what did you find so enjoyable about that? You know, it's like the same thing like The Wrestler. I remember like that too. I'm like, I don't know, I just really really enjoy The Wrestler. Like it puts a smile on my face like by the end of the movie in a weird way, like
yeah. So my favorite part in Manchester by the Sea was when the house burned, right, but his kids oh my gosh. Real quick, rounding out top 10, well, here it is: Three Men and a Baby, Good Morning Vietnam, Broadcast News, Throw Mama from the Train, Eddie Murphy Raw. Struck Raw is Eddie Murphy. Wall Street, Fatal Attraction, Batteries Not Included, and Empire of the Sun.
So there's actually quite a bit of good movies on that list. They're all kind of like those like second tier movies that you wouldn't think of first and foremost, but they're still solid ones.
You could tell the ones that are holdovers, I should say, from Christmas. Like, you know, you got Empire of the Sun, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is on here. Overboard. Probably Batteries Not Included, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, January 1988, there's not a whole lot going on. It's not a bad time at the theaters, but not a great time either. So you might as well go rent a movie. And, you know, let's say you're a fan of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And you step into the video store and you're like, oh, the Hot Rod is here? Roddy Piper laying down pipe? What's going on? Well, he's in the movie? We're going to Piper's Pit? And this is what you rent. And, you know, you get what you deserve. I'll put it that way.
You definitely do. It's like Hell Comes a Frog Town. And even though I know the poster has it, but for some reason, I just didn't expect it to actually go as froggy as it does do. You know, what's a really interesting thing about this movie is how similar it is to Super Mario Brothers in a weird way.
I can see that.
Because it's almost like, you know, they are in the post-apocalyptic kind of variation. There's a bunch of trapped girls that have to get saved, just like how Mario does that. They go get Daisy and everybody out of there and whatnot. Like, there was just like some elements that felt like that way. And then it also reminded me of like Highway to Hell that we watched, you know, like a year ago or something like that. It's in like that similar caliber as that movie too. So that's why this thing, I felt like fired on all cylinders for me. I'm like, wow, this is like, it literally, when I think of like growing up, this feels like one of those ones that should have been in my block list of like movies that I watched a lot of. Because I love so many of those, like, I guess you would say sort of knockoff post-apocalyptic Mad Max style movies. That's what all those ones have. You know, Tank Girl has that similar feel to this one as well too. And yeah, it's just, plus it's got Sandel Bergman in it, who plays Valeria and Conan the Barbarian. That was like the first thing I thought. I was like, oh yeah, there we go.
Yeah. It is, I would say the thing it's most similar to that I've seen is Tank Girl, which I liked this and I did not like Tank Girl.
You don't like Tank Girl?
I just can't vibe with it. I really can't. There's something in it, has that kind of like biodome obnoxiousness a little bit that I just can't. It's just grating to me, but like I appreciate Biodome to an extent, but Tank Girl, I just couldn't. I couldn't work with it. But
it sounds weird. I love Lori Petty, but she does kind of feel like a female Pauly Shore in a weird way.
yeah. It's got that obnoxious, like, I know, I think that was an 80s movie, but it's got that obnoxious 90s, like really in your face, like kind of like camera thing going on.
Well, no, that movie I think is like 93 or something like that. 92. Oh, okay. 93.
Yeah.
It's definitely 90s. It's just, it's like, I like the Tank Girl comics quite a bit too. So, I feel a little more partial towards that, but in that I really like, when I was a kid, like I thought Lori Petty was like, I liked a lot of her movies because I was obsessed with Point Break, of course, but then she was also in the Army Now of Pauly Shore. So there was a lot of, like, she's in Used Cars. Yes. Or not Used Cars. I mean, Cadillac Man with Robin Williams, like the other car selling movie.
Hey, I mean, nothing wrong with Lori Petty. I'm fine with her. I just could not get on Tank Girl. Hell Comes to Frogtown. Tomato meter says 56%. Audience score says 46%. I don't know what they were expecting.
It's actually kind of funny that it has such a high critic score. That's actually pretty high for this movie. You'd think this movie would be one of those ones that'd be like a lowballer. And even in the, like, the, I never really looked the review things, but I saw like in the little review things on Wikipedia, and it's like, oh, this movie scored actually fairly well in the reviews. People, I think it's like people knew what they were getting into and they got what they saw. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, and this movie knows what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It knows what it is. Like, even in the trailers that we saw where it's kind of poking fun at itself and like, think of like the greatest movies you've ever seen. Think of, you know, award winning, blah, 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 blah. And think of so-and-so. And it's like, you're not going to see this here. And it was very on the nose of what this movie is. And it had fun with itself. Like, it just let itself be silly, let itself be stupid. And I think the only thing that it really lacked was every once in a while, the action just kind of, like, not the action, but the story kind of fell asleep for a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's a fun time. There was a quote in Wikipedia. It was like, it's not Citizen Kane, but did Citizen Kane have mutant toads? No.
Yeah. So. You can always do. Well, that's like one of the things that kind of blew me away right at first. I was like, wow, the mutant toads, like in the costumes and all, like that setup, it's like, it's actually very legitimate. Like they do a really good job on it. Like, I felt like the Frogtown thing was going to be like, oh, there are going to be people that are kind of like slightly frog. Like, I didn't expect it. Like, oh, it goes the full distance. They're full on frogs in awesome, like almost like Ninja Turtles looking costumes and so on like that. Like, I was actually pretty impressed.
The costumes are simultaneously terrible and awesome. Like the texture of them, and like they always look perpetually slimy. They look like it has a really good frog texture. Mm-hmm. But then the way the mouth moves and stuff. But the eyes, man, the eyes are cool.
Yeah.
I love what they do with that. So, yeah, I mean, I was really impressed. But I was kind of like you. I thought it was going to be like an amphibious. I was expecting Gungans, I think. I
was expecting
like that, something like that. Like, I was expecting like a semi-amphibious, you know, race. But no, they just said, no, fuck it. We're going to give you frogs and sunglasses. Like, we're going to give you.
We're going full frog, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, all you had to do to sell me on this movie is like, hey, listen, we're going to have Roddy Piper fight a giant frog on the same cliffs where Spock was fighting in Star Trek. And we're, that's, I mean, no holds barred. It's like, you know, anything goes match. Okay, I'm down for it. And that's, you know, that's what we got.
Yeah, definitely that. And then also, you know, they had a cool, like, you know, pickup truck that is all souped up with, you know, being like a powder pink, big old machine gun attached to the top, 50 caliber, like all, which when I saw that, I've told you it before, but I had that buddy growing up, the one who, you know, loved the living daylights out of things like, Highway to Hell and all that stuff. It was any movie that had like some kind of cool old car in it. I'm almost surprised we never ran across that, because this movie I felt would have been like his roster list, just because he would have loved that car so much in there.
Oh yeah, no, it was actually really cool when the car that you see later of that the frogs are the frog Isis is rotting in because that's what it looked like. They looked like Isis, but they were frogs.
Yeah, they're like the back of a Toyota. Yeah, I love how Toyota just sponsors every like you know terrorist organization.
Oh man, this is not the climate this week, Spencer. It's just not the climate.
Toyota's like, hey, we make a lot of money off those guys. You know what?
Yeah. This is our target demographic here.
You know, let's be honest, if you're gonna be driving around with a 50 caliber strapped to the back of your pickup, you want to make sure it's a Toyota. What you want, want like a Chevy it's just gonna break down halfway through? No,
you want good gas mileage, you want dependability. If you hate Jude, come down to Statler Toyota. We got
you'll get over 500 miles out of these bad boys, I guarantee it. Or maybe 500,000.
Yeah. I feel bad for that one.
That's every single time you see something. Well, they're always driving a Toyota. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Just like how the bad guys in movies always drive Mercedes. They don't drive anything else but Mercedes. No you good know, person has ever drove a Mercedes in a movie. It is the heel car of heel cars in film.
Yeah. In real life, that's BMWs.
Yeah, but Bond drives a BMW for a while, so you know what? Okay, that kind of softens the blow on those for
Bond uses his blinker though. They don't. All the Beamer drivers around here are notorious for that.
Yeah, no, they don't care.
Who knows?
Because a BMW is that car where you think you have an expensive car, but you really just have a regular car. That's all you have. You think you're up there with like the Lamborghinis, and all that, but you're not. You're just in the wishful thinking one. Like literally that guy's Ford F-150 probably costs more than your BMW.
Oh yeah. It might be faster too.
Yeah.
Man, it's a Volkswagen, y'all. I know it's not the same company, but that's essentially, I put them in the same vein. I had some VWs growing up.
So. Yeah, that's what I drive at the moment. So it works for me. And everybody was always like, why do you got that? Like, give like 40 miles to the gallon and it's manual and it fits and everything. Yeah, it's great.
Hey, that's what I grew up with. I used to ride around in Beetles.
Yeah.
Not the 90s Beetles, not the ones that came back out with later, like the Austin Powers Beetles. I'm talking about like the legit ones, okay? Yeah. Straight out the Third Reich. So anyway, wow, that came full circle. So anyway, let's go to IMDb real quick. I'll read the synopsis real fast of Here Comes the Frog Town. And this was actually decent. Somebody did a good job on this one. After a worldwide nuclear war where 68% of the male population was wiped out and virile men becoming a rarity, Sam Hale, a scavenger and a highly viral man, feral, is assigned to help rescue a group of fertile women kidnapped by humanoid frogs. Look, this was written by an incel. There's no doubt in my mind. This is his fantasy. It's okay. How do I get laid? Okay. Well, there's going to have to be an apocalypse that wipes out most of mankind. And then I'm going to have to be highly sought after for, you know, exactly that thing. So that's really my only shot here. So now I'm going to write a movie about that. And that's what this movie is.
You know what? I'm going to put my hero from wrestling in there. That's who's going to star in it. Because if I visualize myself, I see myself as Roddy Piper. that's what happened.
Yeah, well, no, we were 100% psychoanalyzing this film, and that is definitely what happened. Who wrote it? Let's, real quick, who was the writer for this? There was two, I believe.
There's Randall Frakes and then Donald G. Jackson, the director.
Yeah, Donald G. Jackson is the culprit for this. I know Randall Frakes was friends with like James Cameron and worked with on the Terminator movies.
He definitely did. Well, he's got the story by, so that technically means he's the one that came up with the concept.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe this is his thing. I don't know. But it's such a weird thing. Yeah. So Roddy Piper essentially is. You know, the movie begins, he's wanted for some reason. I lost track. I was just like a opening credit montage. And it just, the ends with a wanted poster of Roddy Piper. And it says captured. He's being interrogated. And I can't remember exactly what for. Oh yeah, sexual assault. But it would turn out that the guy's daughter who was, you know, he was hurting this guy. the guy's daughter, later said it was, you know, consensual. So he was really mad. And this guy just hates women. He hates that women are taking over the world, because essentially in this dystopian hellscape, this incel has written it as to where it's all women are in control.
Yeah. So it's very progressive.
Yeah, very progressive. Or you could say that this is, hey, how do I make this sound like hell to me? is what I think was going on there with him. So he, you know, at the last minute, Roddy Piper is broken free from this evil person who's trying to kill him, because he's knocking the ladies up. He's got a good track record, and he's known throughout the wastelands as the guy, hey, listen, you want some baby? I knew somebody with the batter. So
yeah, dude. He's running around the wasteland like Genghis Khan running around, you know, Europe.
Yeah, a lot of little hot rods.
Yeah, everywhere he goes, there's little cons running around.
Yeah.
All shades of colors, too.
Yeah, all shades of colors, all in kilts, you know. Yeah, so he's highly sought after, and basically these women have to, they rescue him. They put this robotic, somewhat chastity belt on him.
Yeah.
And they're basically throwing him out the stud. They're taking him out into the wastelands, and he's going to help repopulate the earth.
Yeah, it's literally, you know, he's got a punishable job there, and you know, Ryan doesn't want to be part of it because he likes freedom and everything like that. Doesn't like being told what to do.
Yeah. I want to bang these women on my own accord. I mean, they're literally just throwing poontang at him like for a living. I mean, this is his job.
Yeah, that's literally what he is, you know. He's literally like the gigolo.
He really is. He's you know, I mean, I could think of things worse than half the Earth population being Rowdy, you know, Roddy Piper's kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Worse things. So yeah, he's got to impregnate a bunch of women, but it turns out these women have been captured. They are being held hostage in Frog Town, and as he goes on his journey, where he's originally just going out into the wasteland for these women. He now finds himself in this situation where he's got to free a bunch of Iranian hostages, essentially. But it's not Iranians. It's frogs with three dicks.
Yeah, exactly. All these like frog people hanging out there.
Yeah. It's just so weird.
Yeah, as I said, the concept wise, as I said, it was just right at the beginning, and then as it went on, it's like, wow, I literally was not expecting it to go to these places. It's still interesting. I'm not saying that, but I actually expect it to be, a little bit more actiony. Because I will say that probably is the weakest thing of it, is it doesn't have a crap ton of action in it. There is action, but do you feel like this movie could have used a little bit more?
It could have used it. What would have put it over the top, honestly, is some gore and just some ridiculous action, just like frogs splitting in half. Like, I understand that's probably a lot more money they had to spend. I think their budget was like, it got slashed from 3 million to 1 million.
Yeah.
But if they could have kept that other 2 million, you could have done some really cool stuff with the effects and blowing frogs up and just some extreme ultra violence. That would have actually been hilarious.
Yeah, just very over the top, like Chuck Norris, like violence, but against frogs.
Yeah, because you can kill frogs. You can do whatever you want to frogs in movies.
Yeah, they're not real people.
Yeah, they're not real people. They're frogs, like, you know, humanoid frogs. So you could just go through there and slaughter all the battle toads.
Just go at it. You know what I mean? Just take out the abominations.
Yeah, they needed that, because this movie is just, it's kind of silly, and it's supposed to be kind of like a raunchy comedy, and some of that comedy works, and it is funny. It's funny how reluctant you know, Roddy Piper is to all these women that are throwing at him, and like how he's kind of gun shy when he's being watched. He's like, hey, knock that lady up. So she's sleeping, I don't care.
Yeah, because they find just like some like a lady who's just like literally freaked out in like the middle of the desert, and then like Sandal Bergman just like takes her, just like, here we go, we just gotta shoot her up with a bunch of drugs. Now there, do your thing.
Yeah. The 80s.
And then Roddy Piper, I like how like the morning's like, what did you do? He's like, well, I thought I needed to clean her up first and make her presentable and nice, and now we're best friends.
Yeah, he's like, listen, this bitch needs a bath if I'm gonna do that. She was looking hella crusty.
Yeah.
You know, running around out there. But yeah, and then like there's the weird love relationship or romantic kind of relationship with him and what's her name again?
Sandal Bergman.
Yeah, yeah. Spangle is what they call her.
Yeah, Spangle.
Spangle. And
Holy sister.
Yes. Yeah.
What'd you name your kids? Spangle and Spicoli.
Spangle and Spicoli. Real quick, there's a really cool video on YouTube. You can find Sean Penn's on Conan, and mm-hmm. he talks about running into Spicoli.
In real life?
Yeah. The guy he based it off of.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He went surfing one day, and this guy's like, hey, man, how are you doing? I haven't seen you in a long time. And it was the guy he based it off of.
When you say Sean Penn, I also could assume that he went crazy and then sort of had like a split personality, like he was in The Parent Trap, but it was just him seeing himself.
Oh, no, no. Oh, my gosh. Nothing's working here. I was going to look something up. Yeah, this is definitely way out of bounds of where I was going. It's feels like a raunchy kind of like B comedy, but it's like, it doesn't even go far enough in that direction either. It kind of like, it's kind of reserved there too. So it needed to be more extreme, honestly, mm-hmm. for this to really work. It needed to be way more boobies, way more explosions, way more just ultra violence. And then you could really sell that. It needed a fight scene like in They Live, where they fight for 27 minutes, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah. You know what's another weird one, though, I thought, is there's the third girl he's with at the beginning, the sort of tough military lady with like the slick mm-hmm. back hair. And then she literally like waits on the outside for like 50 minutes of this movie, like all of a mm-hmm. sudden, like, and I'm like, there was a point where I was like, is she just never coming back? Like, what the hell yes. happened to that character? Because I thought that character was actually pretty cool. And then, yeah, she's totally just out of the picture till the very end.
Yeah. She also throws herself at Roddy Piper. If there's a female character in this movie, even if it's a frog.
Yeah, frog women throw themselves at Roddy Piper.
Yeah, there's all of them throw themselves at Roddy Piper in this. So this guy's definitely living vicariously through Piper in this. It's just, you know, or Sam Hale. So that was a weird thing too. I was kind of wondering where she was like the whole time, because it felt like they could have used her a lot.
Well, it just seems weird. It's like, here's your hired gun lady, you know, your mercenary, and you're just gonna leave her on the side. Like, well, we won't need you for a while. Don't mind us. We'll be good. Like, why she should have been there the whole time? And like, I felt like her combined of Roddy would have been a good, like, when there was like a shootout and so on, they would have been a good like team up part.
Oh man, that would have been, yeah, especially if they went the ultra violence route. Watching her, she was like the badass one, you yeah. know. And well, they're both like trained military, kind of like operatives too. So they were both kicking ass in this. But she's definitely more of the hard ass, like a character you'd see in like Alien.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. But yeah, that was weird. Then like you meet characters in Frogtown that you either don't see again or just that you don't care about. Like there's the one old buddy he meets in there.
Yeah.
Which is, the whole thing is kind of weird too. He's like, I'm going to introduce you to everybody. I'm, you know, his whole angle is he's making money off this place. They had found uranium and he's going to sell it and do all these different things with it. But then he's really, really cooperative and just destroying the whole thing later on. It seems like he was going to be the guy who would turn his back on Roddy Piper, because he's like, hey, I've got a vested interest in this place, you know, staying afoot. And he's like, nah, fuck it. You know?
Yeah, I was actually waiting for that to happen. I thought that was going to mm-hmm. be a twist in there, because yeah. it was just like, yeah, he seemed too like into the frog world to like, I know they're old buddies, but yeah, he mm-hmm. felt like he was going to be the old buddy that turns on him, and that never happened, which I guess works. I guess by that standard, that surprised me, because that wasn't where I was thinking it was going.
Yeah, I mean, it surprised me too. And he was even eating frog food.
Yeah. So yeah. Drinking frog beer.
Mm-hmm. No, hey, more Coors.
Yeah, there's a big old Coors ad in this movie.
Mm-hmm. More Coors. This is, you know, Hooper had it. There's not as much Coors in this one as there was in Hooper, but the Coors in Hooper wasn't radioactive.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, there's a part where Roddy's like, beer!
Yeah.
Just chugs the whole thing. I haven't seen this in years. They're like, oh, yeah, we found this, you know, in a radioactive mine. So whatever.
And he's like, eh, fuck it.
Yeah. Well, this is totally the era of like, it's either you're a Coors guy or a Budweiser person. There's, you know, there's as far as the TV was going for promotion, like those are the two big ones that were getting the ad space. Mm-hmm. They were the like the Pepsi and the Coke of like alcohol.
It was, but when we talked about that last time, yes, what was big here. And I remember in the 2000s, it was definitely Bud because a couple reasons. Budweiser sponsored Dale Earnhardt Jr.
That was a big deal. That was a big deal over here too.
Yeah, that's a really, really big deal. It was the biggest contract ever signed by a race car driver at that time. But also, if you watch the Daytona 500 where Dale Earnhardt died, the car that nudged him, the car that got him loose, made him take that right turn to Jesus. That was a Coors. That was the Coors car. He had a silver bullet.
Yeah. Nudged him.
And the mountains were red that day.
Yeah, they definitely were. They weren't going blue.
But, yeah. You know,
they're going blue of shame, maybe, but.
Yeah. You don't wreck threesis. You just don't do it. Especially if, you know, that happens. So.
Yeah.
Listen, if there's a way I can relate something to Dale Earnhardt, you need to know I'm going to do it. Okay.
There's a will, there's a way. It's going to happen.
Yeah. If I could find a way to incorporate Dale Earnhardt, Bojangles, really those two things. Or football.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to find a way to do it. So, but, hey, Roddy Piper's good in this, though.
Yeah, I think so. Just like They Live, it's like one of those ones, like, he is such a solid actor. And I feel like even more than, like, a lot of the other wrestlers at the time, like, he is dialed in. It's like, I wish he would have had more and more things, you know, because it's sort of like he kind of gave up acting about, you know, he has a couple more things past this, but nothing like these are his two like significant remembered movies is They Live and Hell Comes to Frog Town. Like, and that's about as far as it really goes.
Yeah, he was on the cutting edge when it comes to wrestlers going to the movies. Obviously, Hogan was the first really big break, mm-hmm. but he was getting better roles that like he could actually act. And that's one thing I remembered about him as a kid. When I would watch WCW, because that was my introduction to him, was his run in WCW.
Yeah.
And the thing I noticed about him in there, how just much better he was at selling it than everyone. I mean, yeah. he was kind of beyond the kayfabe thing. Even when he was like selling it, he was just too good for that. He would have been really good if he would have been a little bit more in his prime during the Attitude Era. Mm-hmm. And he was running with those guys, but you could have made a great run with Steve Austin and Roddy Piper. I mean, it would have been so good, you know,
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that was the thing is he was Attitude Era, but kind of pre Attitude Era, like just by mm-hmm. himself, he was the Attitude. And that's the thing. It's like, he was that guy. It's like every single time he's on the mic and the stuff that he would do some of the most ballsiest things that mm-hmm. like nobody else would do and just say things and whatnot. And I think that was always like his biggest charm, almost more than anything else. Like a lot of times you remember beyond his, you more remember him on the mic more than you actually remember his like actual matches sometimes.
Yeah. I remember him, talking to Hogan, you know, looking at old Piper Pitt stuff. He had a pretty good feud with Flair too when he came back. And I just remember like he was just a better actor than they were. Like he just had that intensity and he'd get that like kind of death stare and like kind of look blood runs cold kind of thing. I'm like, wow, this guy can, I remember being a kid thinking, man, this guy can act. And I didn't know he was in movies at that time, you know? And then I finally saw They Live and stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, I was right. this guy has it. But man, I miss Roddy Piper. His, out of all the wrestler deaths that died young, because there's been a lot.
Oh, gosh, it's just that hard. It's that era, because you know it's really just all those guys that had to work, you know, literally 7 days a week, you know, and multiple matches a day. I feel those are the guys that are really having a hard time because it just beat some of them up just way too much more than any normal mm-hmm. person should take, you know. And of course, you got the, you know, you got like the Ric Flairs and the Hogans that are able to survive kind of through it. You know, but not, yeah, a lot of those other guys is just that toll that it took.
Yeah. Well, Ric Flair's right there with Keith Richards at this point.
Yeah, he's that guy who could, yeah, he could survive a lot more stuff, you know. He could climb a coconut tree and fall out, and somehow, some way, the coconut tree is the one that gets hurt.
Yeah, Ric Flair's got it going on. Piper, man, it was sad because two things about his death that's really sad. One, he predicted it on HBO Real Sports. He was talking about the reason he came back so many times was because he needed money and couldn't get his pitch until 65. He's like, let's face it, I'm not making it to 65, and he died at 61. But I remember watched the episode of Rich Eisen. Because I love the Rich Eisen show. And this was before, I think it was a podcast, but I might be wrong. But it was when he died. It was 4 days before he died, he was on there. Mm-hmm. And you were like, oh, he's in bad shape. He was so incoherent. Didn't know what was going on. Didn't seem drunk. Just seemed like he was gone. And he only died like a few days later. According to Hogan, which Hulk Hogan lies a lot. But according to Hogan, he left a recording on his answering machine saying that he was walking with Jesus or something. And then this is the night he died.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Interesting stuff there.
Yeah, gosh, I know. And it's one of those things, too. I always think, even when you think about movie-wise, really would have been like the thing that would have worked, I think, really well for him is if he would have became kind of like the next Kurt Russell for John Carpenter and just started more John Carpenter movies, you know, because that was sort of like you could always tell in They Live that was totally made for Kurt Russell. That was totally a Kurt Russell part. And then Roddy Piper kind of filled in the thing there, and it totally works. Roddy Piper is amazing in that, of course. But I almost felt like that's almost like the one is if he would have done just a couple more John Carpenter films with him, I think that could have been a really cool thing.
That, or he could have been like a Bruce Campbell type.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, you know, in that vein, like, you know, we're like a lot of schlock, like respectable schlock, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, because, so, you know, Hell Comes Frogtown literally feels like that could be a Bruce Campbell movie at the same time, too. You could see Bruce in that and wouldn't faze you.
Yeah, no, it does. It feels like that same type of stupidity, honestly. Like, but this movie isn't stupid. It knows what it is. It's just, it plays dumb. It's the girl that plays dumb. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it does a good job of that. It's, I don't know if I'll ever watch it again, but I'm glad I did. You know what I mean? I'm glad I saw it once.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of with you on that too. I mean, if I could see watching again, but it feels like one of those ones, like, it's definitely like, I'm glad I saw it. It's one of those interesting ones, like, you know, it's one of those maybe like 20 years from now when you just can't remember like what, maybe throwing it on again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just more one of those ones. I think it's much interesting just to see it, say you saw it, and all kinds of things like that, and just that kind of era of those post-apocalyptic movies. I think is just a cool one. So it just adds us to another, you know, list of all those.
Mm-hmm. If there's a Blu-ray or DVD out there that has a commentary on it, then that would get me to watch it again because I love to hear a story. I think it was only filmed in like 19 days, I read. But I feel like there's some pretty good stories on the set of this. I knew Cyndi Lauper was on set.
Interesting.
Well, you know, she was buddies with Piper.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because she was in WWF, so.
Yeah, and she was in that. He was in that Good Enough video, the Goonies video.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that too.
Yeah, he was in there. So I guess she just decided to show up on set one day, which is pretty interesting. But I could have seen her in this. She would have been really good as the frog lady.
Oh yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. That is one joke we didn't talk about. It was the frog lady wants to bone him. We did kind of mention that, but that whole scene was incredibly uncomfortable because I'm like, is he gonna get froggy with this frog? Is he gonna get between them frog legs?
Well, this is one of those movies too, where you're not really 100% sure where each thing's going to go when it does happen. Cause it does get to that kind of like, oh, okay. Are we going here? And then it's like, oh, okay, that's what happened. He finds a way out of it. Okay, there you go. But at the same time, I could see it going both directions.
Yeah, that was one other thing, though, about the movie. It did subvert expectations a lot of times. I mean, the whole movie subverted my expectations. But it also just, when it had in like suspenseful parts, they just were not suspenseful at all. It was like a kind of like, okay, get this over with. it was kind of annoying, but overall, if you've never seen Hill Comes to Frogtown, it's on Tubi right now. We watched it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Is that where you watched it?
I watched it on YouTube.
You can watch it free on YouTube. The bottom part of the screen is cut off just a little bit, but not that bad. At least on the one I watched, but like even when it has the New World Pictures logo, mm-hmm. that was kind of cut off a little bit. And I would notice it from time to time, or you could watch it on Tubi, but you have to do the ads. But it might be a little bit better quality too. So,
yeah, the YouTube one wasn't too shabby. Now I watched the majority of it on my phone, or actually, I watched it all on my phone, I think. But it looked still pretty solid on there.
Yeah, I have to watch a lot of movies on my phone because kids during the day are watching Lucas the Spider or something. some crazy thing. So,
yeah. I was like sitting in the car watching Some Hell Comes a Frog Down.
People just walk on you. What are you looking at?
What the hell are you watching? Yeah. That's how this movie felt. It was one of those ones where you sort of signs out and look over your shoulder a couple of times, like, okay, nobody's coming by, right? Because I don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah. That was happening. My wife heard it and she didn't even see it. She's like, what are you watching? I was like, Hill Comes Frogtown. Like, I said it like,
like, what, you don't know?
Come on. It's a masterpiece.
It's the Citizen Kane.
It's the Citizen Kane of humanoid frog movies. Okay. Yeah, this movie is wild, man. But it's worth seeing because of Roddy Piper. The performances in it, I will say, the actors all know what they're into. They, you know, you can't say the acting's bad. The acting's actually right where it needs to be. So I will say that about this movie. It works for what it is. It's very self-aware, and there are some funny things about it. So watch it once, and then you could tell everybody you saw it.
Yeah, exactly. And if you get really into it, there is sequels.
Yeah, that's right. There are. There's like, what is it, Frogtown 2?
There's Frogtown 2, and then I think there was another one too.
Toad Warrior or something like that.
Yeah, and then Max Hell Frog Warrior or something like that. And I think they're all directed by the same dude. So that actually makes it kind of interesting.
I really believed in this concept.
Yeah. And as I said, the Return to Frogtown, I know for a fact, was on YouTube. So I'm almost kind of interested to see it, but I'm never too sure with, like, who knows who the heck's in it. But
Frogtown 2, I mean, it does look.
It's funny because it's actually, there's literally like, dude, there's this guy, they're all playing the same characters, it's obviously different actors, but the dude who's playing like Sam Hell is it's the dude from Maniac Cop, but like he's got an interesting shaped head on this he looks like a cartoon character almost, with like, he looks, you know, like
out of Dick Tracy.
Yeah, exactly. Like his chin is like almost like bigger than his forehead and everything like that.
Yeah, that's like Jay Leno Eat Your Heart Out is what that is.
Oh, but it's a guy, Lou Ferrigno, in it.
What the fuck?
In the second one.
Brian James. What is he? I've seen him in something else.
He's in 48 Hours and Southern Comfort and Blade Runner. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tangling Cash. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, man. And Charles Napier.
There's some people in there. And it's got, you know, as I said, the main characters, Sam Hell, Dr. Spangle, like, looks like they're all kind of back in it for the most part.
Hmm.
Character wise.
Yeah. No.
I'm kind of interested. I don't know if I will, but I'm kind of interested.
Well, we can revisit on the podcast one day, you know, save it for, you know, Frogtown 2, and everybody's going to be like, oh my God, they're doing another Frogtown movie.
Exactly. And then maybe we'll do the third one, because the third one actually looked pretty interesting too. And I think it's 96. The upside is that, like, these movies all, like, because they're all in the 90s, they're probably all still going to have that cool look to them, you know, that they're, because a lot of times I'll say this, like, B movies just don't really work past like the 2000s. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing about B movies, is like the second that CG is kind of introduced and digital photography, I don't know what it is. Like, they lose that charm and mystique, you know. Mm-hmm. It's one of those ones, like, even like good actors and good directors of that kind of class, and even things like Roger Corman movies, you watch like modern Roger Corman movies, like, not the ones he directs, but of course ones that come from him, like, they always feel like something's missing the whole time, and like, this just doesn't feel right.
It feels like a YouTube video.
Yeah, I think that's it. And just, yeah, it's something about, like, I think that B movies, they, one, they need to be on film, and two, they need to have real effects and so on like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the big thing. You look, if you don't have a budget, don't do CGI. Like, just don't do it.
Don't do CGI. Yeah. And it almost, like, something's like digital wise nowadays. I'm like, you'd almost be better off if you just, like, okay, if you want to use digital, at least use cassettes or something like that. Use something that's going to give it sort of a, at least still texture and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you can do some of that in After Effects, but it just doesn't have the same.
No.
It's got that crispness that you can't get rid of, which is not bad for some things, but not good for B movies. But oh, well. Anyway, Hill Comes to Frogtown. You can watch it on Tubi. You can watch it free on YouTube. Any last thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I think we could. We actually, I'm going to say this real quick. You know, it's an interesting one that I just noticed while watching it. And it's only because I play so much Resident Evil that I can notice these things. They obviously must have used, or Resident Evil probably used the same, like, sound effects track that, like, Hell Comes to Frogtown does. And some other movies I noticed have it too, but, like, I could always tell when I hear certain, like, sounds that's, like, oh, that's distinctly straight out of Resident Evil and so on like that, which means that technically out of Hell Comes a Frog Town or whenever the hell whoever recorded it. But there's, like, the wolves when they're, like, in the campground sitting out there. There's, like, there's a distinct sound that those wolves make that's, like, I always think of Resident Evil. And there's some of those, like, door opening sounds in this movie that are, like, once again, Resident Evil must have used those sound effects in the first one.
It's so weird to hear sound effects passed around. Like, the Wilhelm scream has been passed around for so long.
Yeah.
And, like, you notice stuff. I was, when I was doing that video I did a couple weeks ago for TikTok, one of those channel surfing videos, I wanted some History Channel in that one. So I looked up, I went to History Channel 90s on YouTube, and I picked a random video, and this one happened to be about, I think it was about Dracula. Mm-hmm. And I was going through it, and it was talking about Vlad the Impaler, and then it started playing this music, dun, 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 and it was Goldberg's theme. And it really? Was like, yeah, if you go watch that video, when it gets to the History Channel part, it's literally Goldberg's music. It's not Goldberg-esque. It's literally that music.
Yeah.
And it's pretty crazy. But it's weird how that stuff kind of gets passed around. You're like...
you said if wrestling, I almost want to say a lot of those themes back in the day, that's what they kind of did. They just, like, said, okay, flip through this, like, you know, here we go. We bought the license to this, like, songs. You can pick one of, like, 50 songs from here, you know. Mm-hmm.
That was what WCW did. Now, I will say WWF always had, Hogan's manager's name?
Oh, they always had Hart.
Hart.
Yeah. Jimmy Hart.
Jimmy Hart. He did a lot of the stuff.
Yeah.
He did HBK's theme, mm-hmm. Sexy Boy. He did, you know, that rap for NWO Red?
Yeah.
Back his back, calls him out. He did that. Uh-huh. He wrote that, man. I'm like, what?
Yeah, Jimmy Hart was, like, crazy. Yeah, he had so much talent. It was, like, all kinds of places that you didn't even know until someone mentions it.
Yeah. That's wild, man. That's
so, and then so ECW wild. Just played real songs and then couldn't do it when it came to, like, TV tapings.
It's like, here's POD with...
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, anyway... if you want to talk about Hill Comes to Frogtown with us, you can go to find us on all the social media platforms. You can go to at via VHS on TikTok and X. And you can find us on via VHS pod on Instagram. And you can find us everywhere. Just look up via VHS. You'll find us. Also, you can go to oldmanorange.com and find all the stuff that Spencer does, Old Man Orange podcast and Pizza Boys with a Z and just random stuff that he... reminds me of every once in a while. I'm like, oh yeah, you have that thing on there too. So if Spencer's done it, it's there and you can go check it out. But anyway, thank y'all for listening. Y'all have a good time in Frogtown, and Via VHS is out.